Scars. I think everyone has at least one scar on their body. When it comes to scars, some are big, some are small, some are very noticeable, some are hidden, some are old, some are new. But generally we all have a scar of some sort, and most scars tell a story. You can generally point to a scar on your body, and then there's a story to be told about how you got that scar. Thankfully, I don't have too many scars. I got a little one on the side of my eye here where I was a young boy running too fast through the house, tripped on something and hit the corner of the coffee table, and thankfully it didn't do too much damage. I have an appendix scar, which I'm not going to show you, all right? And I'd like to say there's fond memories of that, but it certainly isn't. I think I went to the doctor three times in the same within 2 days, saying I have severe pain. He just said I had a stomach ache, and so he kept sending me home until I went up to the hospital, and that was another story in itself. I'm getting a knee replacement on Tuesday, which I suspect I'm going to get a good scar, and I'm hoping I'm going to have good stories to tell about that one, and it's not a traumatic experience. But we all have a scar, generally, and a story. And what I would like to do is look at some scars that we are told about in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. If you don't, doesn't matter. I'm going to read the verses there. But we're told that the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ were gathered together, afraid in a room, because the one that they thought was the Messiah to bring liberty to the Jews had just been crucified a few days earlier, and they thought he was the one that they were waiting for, who was going to bring salvation to the Jews, and they had been following him for around 3 years, so they got to know him very well. He had been just crucified, and now there were reports that his body had gone missing. And so this brought a lot of fear to them. And we read in John chapter 20, in the Word of God, verse 19, it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, where the spear had been pierced. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." So here they are, afraid in this room, not sure what's happening, and Jesus appears. And if you read other accounts, they were very scared of what they were seeing. They weren't sure who he was or what he was. But Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, it's me." And then he showed them the scars on his hands and feet, another account says, and on his side. And once they saw the scars, they realized, this is Jesus, the one we had been following, and he has risen from the dead. If we read on, we're told in verse 24, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails," that is his scars, "and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." So that's how Thomas responded. And it says there in verse 26, "And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing." And so here Thomas refused to believe. Jesus appeared again, and he once again showed his disciples his scars. And it's these scars that I want to consider today, because when you consider the scars of the Lord Jesus and what he had, they certainly tell a story. In fact, they tell us a few stories. The first story they tell us is that the scars of Jesus tell us that he was nailed to a cross. I could come up and see a scar and say, oh, how did you get that scar? And you could usually tell me how. Well, if we would ask Jesus, how did you get these scars? He would say, because I got it from being crucified on a cross. That's what we're told in John chapter 19, verse 16. It says, then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the Jews' writing was, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And so how did Jesus get these scars? He got them from being crucified on a cross, a very slow and a very traumatic and a terrible way to die. He was executed by the Romans who were governing at that time. Yet it's very interesting that the scriptures tell us that Jesus did this willingly. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't something he wasn't aware of. He willingly gave up his body to be crucified. In fact, Peter, one of the disciples who saw this very event come to pass and who knew him previously, tells us in the Word of God who his own self, that's talking about Jesus, bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Peter says that Jesus bore our sins in his own body on that cross, that we, being dead because of sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Peter tells us this is why Jesus gave up his body to be crucified, so he could bear our sins in his body, so that we can be free. He said in another place, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. The just, that's Jesus, the just one, for the unjust one, that's us, that he might bring us to God. And those scars of Jesus tells a wonderful story, how the Son of God came and became a man and was born in Bethlehem. And that's what we often, when it comes to Christmas, that's the main theme of how Jesus came to be born of a virgin there in Bethlehem. But that is certainly not the end of the story, because we're told that he grew and then he did miracles showing that he was truly the Son of God and he was not an ordinary man. Yet he was rejected by most people because he revealed their sin. Because he was the light of the world and men loved darkness rather than light. They didn't want to hear about their sin. And so they didn't like what they were hearing. They didn't want to change. They didn't want to repent from their sin. They didn't want to admit that they needed help. And without even realizing it, they were used by God to fulfill what he had prophesied hundreds of years earlier, how he would send his son to die for mankind. And out of jealousy, pride, and hate, they crucified Jesus on a cross, and nailing his hands and his feet to that cross, and there he hung. And so the first story that the scars of Jesus tell us is that he died for sinners. I know he died for me, I'm a sinner. And if you're a sinner, he died for you as well. But it doesn't end there. Because also the scars tell us another story, and that is that he rose from the dead. He didn't just die, he rose from the dead. When the disciples were in that room, gathered together, we often think of Thomas, how untrusting he was, but they were all gathered there, afraid. And they had previously been told by some ladies that they had seen the Jesus risen from the dead, and they refused to believe it. It wasn't until Jesus came and showed himself and showed the scars and they realized, this is the one, he is risen from the dead. It was only then that they believed. Yet I find it interesting, as we read, that Thomas wasn't there. He comes, they're excited, they're changed people. We've seen Jesus, we've seen the scars. And how did Thomas respond? No, I'm not believing this. Unless I can touch them and with my very fingers and see them with my very eyes, I refuse to believe. Now, Jesus had some important things for Thomas to do, and so he wanted to make sure he understood he had risen from the dead. And so we know that he appeared, and he got Thomas to come and touch them and put his fist into the side where the spear went. And once he did this, he believed. It says, he said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." He fell at his feet, proclaiming that he was his Lord and God. Once he saw the scars, he realized Jesus had risen from the dead, and yes, he was the one he was going to follow. I do love what Jesus said next, though. He said this to Thomas. Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." That's a beautiful thing. Thomas, I understand that you believe because you've seen. But blessed are those who don't get to see me, yet they still believe the witnesses. And I'm one of those in that category. And if you are trusting Jesus as your Savior, you are in that category as well. We haven't seen the nails, the prints, and the scars in his hand and his side and his feet. Yet we believe the witnesses who wrote about it and spoke about it, who had seen these things. You know, if the story of Jesus is that Jesus died on a cross and he was buried, that's a very sad story. That is a dead faith. Someone certainly not to follow, because there's been many people who have made themselves out to be someone important or even deity or God, and they have died and they're still in the grave to this very day. But Jesus is very different because he rose from the dead. And those scars are proof and testimony of that. That's why he made sure that his disciples could see them. "I am risen from the dead." And he was risen for our justification, it says. That means it shows that the payment for our sin was paid in full. He's not still paying it, it's paid in full. And so we can be declared not guilty in the sight of God because Jesus was made guilty for us and he paid it all. His resurrection shows that. And unlike Thomas, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. But I'm different to Thomas, where I didn't have to see the scars and touch them to believe it. But I know I serve a risen Savior. And the wonderful thing about that is the scars tell another story because of that. And that is, they tell us that Jesus brings salvation. As the resurrected Savior, Jesus has made it possible to have forgiveness of sin and avoid that punishment to come in that lake of fire. That's why when we say we're saved from the punishment to come. In Colossians, the epistle in the Word of God, in chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "In whom," talking about Jesus, "we have redemption," that is, the price has been paid. Through what? What was the price, the payment? His blood. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And you know, having the forgiveness of sins from God is a beautiful thing. Instead of living a life feeling as though you're under judgment because of you're a sinner in the sight of God, you can be free from that, knowing there is cleansing and forgiveness. Knowing that God is no longer someone I have to fear because he's my judge, but he's someone I can love because he's my Father, as he adopts me into his family. You know, Jesus said some beautiful words when it came to wanting to bring this salvation to all. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, this is what Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. Here we see Jesus is seeking sinners, and he knocks at the door of their heart, asking if he can come in and cleanse you and forgive you. I've never really seen it here in Bendigo, but if you go to the cities, you generally see it in apartment blocks, particularly where there's the door and you have the little peephole. Someone knocks on the door and you can go and peep and see who's there, and you can decide if you really want to open the door or not. And depending on who they are, you happily open it or you just pretend you're not even there. And you know, the Lord's given us a little peephole into the door of our heart, where he's allowed us to see who's knocking on that door through his word. He shows us who it is. And if anyone at any time you're feeling that knock upon your door of your heart, and you know that it's someone knocking and saying, I want to cleanse you, I want to forgive you, I want to change you, we only have to look through into the word and see who it is. And if you say, why should I open the door to you? Jesus just has to say, because I love you. Look at the nails, prints, look at the side, look at the feet. I died on that cross for you. The amazing thing is he did it while we were sinners. We're told, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, the Word of God tells us that occasionally someone will die for a friend or a good person. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, that is, enemies of him, he chose to die in our place. Why should I open the door to you, Jesus? Well, the scars on his hand tells us a story of love. And then lastly, those scars tell us how secure we are. You know, they bring security to the believer. You know, one of the most wonderful things of knowing that Jesus is the all-powerful God is it brings a lot of security. If he's able with his hands to spread out the stars in creation, if with his hands he's able to rain down fire from heaven with judgment upon a nation, well then that shows he has very powerful hands which you can trust in. And so when Jesus says something like this, I give unto them, that's his sheep, eternal life. That's what Jesus says I will do to his sheep. I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, that's a beautiful thing. Jesus says to his sheep, I will give you eternal life, and no one is going to take you out of my hands. Those nail-scarred hands. You wonder if Jesus loves you enough to save you and keep you. We just need to be, he's reminded of how much he loves us and what he did for us. We are engraved in the palms of his hands. And we're not told this in the Bible. So this is my assumption. But I can't help wondering at every time he looks at those scars in heaven this day, he sees every child who has turned from their sin and has been washed and is one of his. Every person that's done that. Because scars usually tell a sad story or have bad memories, but these scars tell a beautiful story. The story of how Jesus died on the cross for sinners. The story of how Jesus rose from the dead, showing full payment had been made. The story that he knocks upon each person's heart, asking to come in, and allowing him to forgive. A story of how he wants to keep us secure for all eternity and give us eternal life. Not many scars are beautiful, but his scars are. And can I simply close by asking you this? When he looks at his scars, does he see you? Someone who has taken advantage of what he did on that cross and said, Jesus, save me, a sinner. I trust that you did that for me. Or are you someone who is still rejecting the scars? He knocks, but you say no, thank you. You know, John said in his gospel, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." And today what we're going to do is we're going to listen to the testimony of three young ladies who heard the good news about Jesus. And through various means and at different times in their life, realize that they're a sinner and they need salvation. And they've asked the Lord Jesus to be their Savior. Just like Thomas did. Just like I have. And I'm looking forward to hearing their testimony today. And so we'll end there.